One of the problems that the early church had was in articulating the proclamation that Jesus Christ is not just the sacrifice for our sins, not just the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, not just the one who died in our place, but also the priest, the one who performs the sacrifice, the one who lays the sacrifice on the altar and performs it. The proclamation of the church is that he is both our priest and our sacrifice. And one of the statements that was made by the Jews in response to this claim was that he couldn't possibly be a priest because priests must be of the Levitical family. They must be sons of Levi. They must be descendants of Aaron. They must be from the Levitical family. And since Jesus was of the family of Judah, Judah was his ancestor, the son of Israel. Since he was a descendant of Judah, he couldn't possibly be a priest, because never could you have a descendant of Judah and a descendant of David be a priest. You had to be of the tribe of Levi. And so they said, so he can't possibly be a priest. And the author of Hebrews, looking back into the Old Testament, looking back into the life of Abram, finds that Abram has, in fact, gone to someone else, certainly not someone from the tribe of Levi, because they didn't exist yet. In fact, the tribe of Levi, Levi himself, and all of his descendants are, according to the author of the Hebrews, are all in Abram. When Abram goes to Melchizedek. Now, I was very pleased to note that the scripture here in chapter 7 essentially explains in beautiful language and simply the message that I fumbled last week. And if you take a look in chapter, I just love it when the Bible does this. And if you look in chapter 7, beginning with verse 1, it says, "The king, this king, Melchizedek of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham as he was returning from defeating the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham appointed one-tenth of everything. His name in the first place means King of Righteousness. Next, he is also King of Salem, that is, the King of Peace." What is the Hebrew word for peace, Gerald?
Shalom.
Shalom. And in its slightly early Aramaic construction was Salem. And of course we know that the people of the Arabic extraction, when they speak Arabic, they say Salam. Shalom, Salam, Salam. It's all the same word. It means peace. Being king of Salem, he was the king of peace. That in fact nails down even harder, even more tightly, the connection I made last week by saying King of Righteousness, King of Peace, brings bread and wine for worship, and a tenth of all that is that Abram has is given to him. This sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? King of Righteousness, King of Peace, brings bread and wine, and to him is paid a tithe. Sounds like Jesus. And therefore I said that Jesus is the master in the New Testament, casting a shadow into the Old Testament. And Melchizedek is that shadow, that type, of which Jesus is the eternal master, original of. And so I drew that connection. And here we have the author of the Hebrews drawing it and nailing it down. He is King of Righteousness and also King of Salem, which means King of Peace. Verse 3, "Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever." Now, my friends, that's the author of Hebrews drawing the connection that I drew last week, that Jesus is in the New Testament the master, the one through whom the shadow is cast back into the Old Testament in the person of Melchizedek. Melchizedek in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing, a forerunner of Jesus in the New. And what is said about Melchizedek in the Old is said of Jesus in the New. So that's point number one. What was said last week is true this week as well. Melchizedek in the Old Testament is Jesus. And when Abraham worshipped and proclaimed God on high and paid tithe to the high priest Melchizedek, high priest of God, he was in effect worshiping God and paying tithe to Jesus, way off in the New Testament. Okay? That's point number one. Well, we have this great high priest, Jesus Christ, whom Melchizedek prefigured. And because we have in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace, whom Jesus is a priest in the order of, reflected in, we can turn to Him as Abraham did, and as the sons of Levi did in Abraham, we can turn to Jesus as our great high priest. Yes, He's not a Levite. Yes, He's not a son of Aaron. But because He is a great high priest in the order of Melchizedek, we can turn to Jesus Himself as our high priest. Now, he says a few things here in what was read about high priests. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for the people received the law under this priesthood, what further need would there have been to speak of another priest arising according to the order of Melchizedek, rather than one according to the order of Aaron? In other words, if you could attain salvation, this is point number two, if you could attain salvation through the law, if you could attain salvation through obedience to the commandments, if you could attain salvation through the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, if you could attain salvation by the Levitical priesthood and the law and the sacrifices in the temple, then you wouldn't have need for another high priest. And yet one is given. One is indeed given. For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. Ooh. Now the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe from which no other one has served at the altar. He was the son of Judah. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. It is even more obvious when another priest arises, resembling Melchizedek, that's Jesus, one who has become a priest, not through a legal requirement concerning physical descent, i.e. not because he's a son of Levi, but through the power of an indestructible life. How do you know that Jesus is a priest? Because He was crucified and died and then raised from the dead. We know that Jesus is a priest because He has an indestructible life. All right? We have this high priest in Jesus not because of some lineal descent. He is a descendant of Judah, after all, and therefore has the right to be king. But also, He is, by the nature of His indestructible life, by the nature of His resurrection, He is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 17. For it is attested of Him, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 18. There is, on the other hand, the abrogation of an earlier commandment because it was weak and ineffectual. Because the commandments concerning the sacrifices through the Levite tribe, through the sons of Aaron, because the regulations in the Old Testament concerning the sacrifices were weak. They couldn't save you eternally. Even if you obeyed all the rules, you couldn't be saved by keeping them. Because it's weak, it's been abrogated. That means it's been set aside. in favor of the greater high priest and the better hope that we have. It was there is, on the other hand, the abrogation of an earlier commandment because it was weak and ineffectual, for the law made nothing perfect. There is, on the other hand, the introduction of a better hope through which we approach God. And this is the third point. We have a better hope, my friends. We don't have sacrifices in temples of lambs and goats and birds and bulls. We don't have sacrifices of animals so that their blood can pay for our sins. We have a better hope. We don't have a high priest who must make sacrifice for himself. We have a perfect high priest who does not need to make sacrifice for anyone because he himself is the sacrifice. We have a better hope in Jesus Christ our Lord, who is our sacrifice and our priest. We have a better hope in Jesus Christ our Lord, who does not need to make sacrifice for himself because he is already perfect. We have a better hope in Jesus Christ our Lord, because he died and we therefore might live eternally. We have a better hope in our high priest Jesus Christ, and in turning to him and to him only for our salvation. We have a better hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, I can't think of anything to say more profound than this, that we have a better hope in our indestructible high priest, Jesus Christ, whom Melchizedek pointed to from the Old Testament. We have a better hope in our Savior, Jesus Christ. How can we turn to another hope? How can we turn to another way? How can we try to turn to another Savior as if there might be another Savior? How can we turn to another God as if there might be another God? And yet we have many alternatives to turn to in this world. Money, family, country, community. You name it, we've got it. Alternative gods to depend upon, alternative sources and points of allegiance. We have many alternative deities, my friends, to put our hope in. But the proclamation of the Christian faith is we have no better hope than our eternal Savior, our great high priest, the sacrifice who died for you and me, Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. He is the reason we meet here today. We sang this morning, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Why? Because he died for us. Because he is our great high priest. Because of him, we have nothing to fear. That's why we're here, my friends. If we're here for any other reason but to give glory and praise to God and to receive the grace that we need from Him to step out of these doors and go through these days, then we're here for the wrong reason. My friends, I have great times here with y'all. I enjoy the barbecue. I had a blast last night and yesterday at the barbecue and the bazaar. I had a wonderful time. I'm going to tell you something. As wonderful as it is, this church is not a social group. It's not a country club. It is the body of Christ. It is the church of God here. It is an embassy of the kingdom of heaven. And we have one job: to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to live our lives in conformity to God's will, to be the people of God here in this town today. We're not here to have fun, and we're going to have lots of fun, because God doesn't want dour. No, God doesn't want that at all. He just took a picture of me doing that too. God doesn't want that at all. The Holy Spirit brings us joy and thanksgiving. And we are called to be a people joyfully giving thanks to God, joyfully giving God all that we have and are, joyfully being givers of the means of grace that God has made each of us. We are called to be a people of joy and a people of thanksgiving here in Steagerville today. But this is not a country club. This is not a social group. This is the body of Christ. And I praise God for each of you. And I thank God for the joy of being your pastor. And I pray that as we go on through this year and next year and the year after that, that we as the body of Christ, as an outpost of the kingdom of God here in this city, we might truly witness to the world of the love and the grace and the peace of our great high priest and sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who died that we might never fear coming to the throne. Look what it says at the very end of the passage. There is, on the other hand, the introduction of a better hope through which we approach God. We have a better hope, not just for life in this world. We have a better hope, not just for the joy and the rejoicing that we can have in this world, but we have a better hope for approaching God than the sacrifices ever gave us. We have a better hope, my friends, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us grasp that hope by faith. Let us attain to the means of grace in all of their forms, in prayer, in scripture, in fellowship together, in giving, in communion, in baptism, in remembrance of baptism, in all the many means of grace that we experience week after week after week in this family of faith. Let us attain by faith to those means of grace and receive into our living the strength and the power and the joy that we need to live as the body of Christ here today and wherever we may be. Give thanks and glory to God that we have the privilege of having a great high priest, Jesus Christ our Lord, the King of righteousness, the King of peace. Let us give thanks to God that we have the privilege of serving such a glorious Master as our Savior Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.